I've been kind of trying to take a break, but Satan has been so busy with our members, members and family members. And I believe it is because the stand that we take. I know everybody is set to pass at a particular time and place, but I do believe Satan is busy because we're going through the turbulence of going from one level in the natural to going to a level in the spiritual. And God has been showing me, and I'll get into the word of God, but this Pentecost Sunday, so the spirit going to take over anyhow. God has been showing me that we've been fighting. I've been leading you in the fight on the ground level. I've been a foot soldier, which I still will be out in the crowds and still will be doing police chaplaincy and things of that nature. But God is showing me that I've been fighting from the bottom up. But my job is not to fight from the bottom up. My job is to fight from the top down. And what's been going on is, you know, Moses was on the hilltop and he had his arms up. And so that's why I got to get the team together, because the team got to be cohesive. And you all have got to make sure that you take care of the things on the ground so that I can keep my head in a posture of prayer like Elijah. Elijah never looked for the cloud. The servant did. And I have to be in the spirit to make sure that I can handle situations like this. But because I was in a place of rest, I was able to see what's going on and having to get ahead of what's going on. And God woke me up on Friday, and people were telling me, you need to do this, and call people at the last minute to put this panel together. Friday, you call the lieutenant governor, Congressman Scott, and all them type people tell you, yeah, with one day notice. That's the spirit of God. And I just want you all to know that I'm going to be led by the Spirit, but I have to address America on this morning, because what's going on in the world and what's going on in the churches, we have lost our prophetic voice. We have lost our prophetic voice, and we don't speak to change. I remember when I first got here and I had to do some things to get New Beach Grove in line, and God was handling stuff on the pulpit, and the people were like, why are you so mad? I ain't mad, God mad. I don't even know you. And because people don't understand how you speak to change. Prophetic doesn't necessarily mean you're preaching and foretelling what's going on. Sometimes, yes, prophetic preaching is when you're preaching to curate a change in the world. You understand what I'm saying? King was a prophetic preacher. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, y'all hear him, I have a dream. But y'all need to listen to his sermons. I believe they probably killed him. I think they heard that mountaintop sermon, because he was calling folk out by name. At least I ain't never called your name. And so with that said, I appreciate my white brothers and sisters as well who have been emailing me and encouraging what we're doing to make sure that we have these tough conversations. I appreciate both black, white, and Hispanic and all types of panelists who will be on the panel at 11 o'clock. Who know who I am and know I'm not going to water down any questions. So thank you for helping me and helping us help God put our country in a place of health and not hate. Amen? But anyway, we were going to Jeremiah. I just want to give you that preface. When I preach, it may cut some people, but that's a good thing, because it's not a cut like a butcher. This is not going to be a cut like a murderer. This ain't going to be Freddy Krueger or Jason cutting on you. This is a surgical incision to make sure when God cuts us in the right places that he sews us back together again after he takes out the malignant parts that are poisoning our life. Amen. Anyway, Jeremiah 8, 18 through 22, I'm going to read in the TLB, the Living Bible. I don't even know what TLB stands for, but that's the version I felt like reading from. But I'll make sure I go old school for verse 22 for the seasoned saints who probably cringing because I'm not reading it in the King James. Jeremiah 8:18 through 22 says, my grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken. Listen to the weeping of my people all across the land. Where is the Lord, they ask? Has God deserted us? Oh, why have they angered me with their carved idols and strange evil rites? The Lord replies, the harvest is finished, the summer is over, and we are not saved. I weep for the hurt of my people. I stand amazed, silent, dumb with grief. Is there no medicine in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he help? For the old school, let's go back to the New King James and try to pull the new and the old together. Verse 22 said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Lord, again, please help me bring a word. Help me stay on rhythm. Help my cadence be in a way that people understand me and hear me. Allow me to talk to the white man, the black man, the Hispanic man, and everybody in between. Allow us to liberate not only the men and the minorities, but the women as well, in all cultures and all creeds and all ethnicities. We ask for your power and grace to reside upon this word. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. I want to speak to you from the subject, America won't let me rest. America won't let me rest. And I wanted to say, is there no balm in America? My country, tis of thee, where is the liberty? Or where is the liberty? I had so many different titles, but I realized I was trying to sit down and take a sabbatical, if you will, at least kind of one. But because of what's going on in this nation, America won't let me rest. And if you can rest at this time, it's hard to rest in this time when you know you have a prophetic voice and you have a voice that needs to be heard, because you will say what God wants you to say and not worry about the feelings of people. I worry about your feelings in the natural, I do, and so I try to control my speech. If you're close to me, you don't understand that. But if you ain't close to me, I try to control, like this young man. This white guy continues to call me the whitest black person he knows, and he don't even know me. And I almost inboxed him, which I did. I almost told him to come see me. He'd been messing with me for years. And it's amazing how some people think that they know what's good for black people, and you ain't black. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He got Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and all these people on his wall, but you not black. So please stop trying to tell me how to be myself. You understand? There's a reason why I'm a chaplain for the police. It's not just because I love the police. I love the police, but I know I got to do some things to hold the police accountable. And I can text the chief because he know I'm on his side, even when we can have hard conversations, because every conversation we have ain't nice. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? You got to learn how to be an inside man, an inside woman, and understand that you don't have to be fussing all the time, because if you fuss all the time, people don't hear you. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And so now, because I have to address what's going on in America, I didn't even know that many white people followed me on my email list. And so I began to get all these encouraging inboxes and encouraging emails saying, I appreciate what you're doing, and you're doing it in love. I thank what you're doing. And I was amazed because they were in silence. But because of what's going on, their voices are beginning to at least inbox me. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But I'm going to get into this later on as we go along. But some of us need to understand that hate is not the answer. You can't fight hate with hate. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You can't fight hate with hate. You got to fight hate with love. Love is what's going to be lasted. In the end, they say that there's faith, there's hope, and there's love. And some translators say there's charity. But the greatest of these is love, because love will cause somebody to finally change. Love will kill Jim Crow. Love will kill Plessy versus Ferguson. Love will kill you being on the back of the bus. Love will kill lynchings. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm not saying it'd be a punk and somebody run up on you and you just sit there. I got a little Malcolm in me too. Just wanted to marinate on that. I believe in nonviolence. I do. But I'm like, what's that joker name? EPMD. It's like a dig 'em smack. You smack me and I smack you back. I'm going to get into my sermon, but I just want to let you know that there's an unrest because of what's going on with COVID-19. I don't even think I'm going to preach this sermon. But what's going on with COVID-19, everybody is sitting at home, and they don't have time not to see what's going on. See, you usually could see somebody get killed, and then you go to work, and you forget about it, and you see another one. But now everybody is sitting at home in their living rooms and having nothing else to do. And so the anger is boiling over, and then you have an ignorant, bigoted, uneducated, special ed president, come on somebody, who begins to attack those who protest and get mad because they tear up a building. Now, I'm not saying I condone tearing up a building, but sometimes people don't hear you until you, oh, come on somebody, I'm not saying burn up anything, but I'm definitely not saying burn up your own neighborhood. At least you did burn up the police station. I'm not trying to preach hate right now, but I'm trying to let people know that there's a pain, a rigor mortis that's taking place in the spirit of the black man that's tired. Come on, somebody. The reason why I put this panel together at 11 o'clock is because I too am mad. And if I'm mad, I know the foot soldier's mad. Come on, somebody. If you can get somebody that's up in the big house upset, and you can get Sheriff Morgan putting out Facebook talking about he tired of this, be quiet. You feel what I'm saying? And if you get people like that upset, you know you got to get ahead of it because you got to handle it in love. But I'm serving this country. Notice the black man is tired. The thing about it is the unrest, riots, and protests are the language of the unheard, King said. And sometimes when you aren't heard, you begin to make sure people hear you. But what gets me is no matter what goes on in America, no matter how many times black people are killed, no matter how many times they're killed and people are acquitted, the man already out on bail. We don't even have a tape of Bill Cosby doing that, but he ain't getting out. We have people on tape every single time, and even if an indictment happens, they still walk away free. America, you need to understand the people are tired. When you continue to push somebody against the wall, eventually they're going to come out swinging. And what I'm trying to tell you is this, if you don't change your ways, oh, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. I'm trying to get into the sermon, but I'm trying to warn America that there's an unrest going on. I know some people may call this sermon irresponsible, but I wrote all my sermon down to make sure that I put everything together. But when I got up here on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Ghost said, look here, sit down, Maxwell. I'm going to take it over because there has to be a real prophetic voice that goes out. I don't condone violence. I don't condone burning down police states. I don't condone when you get upset and retaliate with violence, but I will take it like Chris Rock. I do understand. Understand that the prophetic voices have been missing. The church pastors have not been speaking out as they should. So you don't have any hope going on. You don't hear people talking about anything unless they feel like they're going to get a check at the end of the day. The prophetic voice must awaken and bring judgment against the nation because the nation continues to disrespect the people. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. The problem is you don't think I'm a man. The problem is you don't think I'm human. The problem is you think I'm a product of evolution. And the amazing thing, I'm going to leave that alone. That wasn't the spirit. I need you to understand there's an unrest that's going on right now. And when people are sitting at home for so long, and they don't have anything to do. We're putting people in danger because we're not handling our business, Mr. President. You can text out and call people thugs when they retaliate, but you didn't say anything about the police officer that had his knee on the neck of a man for 9 minutes.
The coroner in Minnesota says that it was a heart attack and he had a pre-existing condition. But if you have a pre-existing condition, the reason that it'll trigger it is because if you have a pre-existing condition, if you put yourself in a situation that causes you stress, it will cause that to happen. That's why some people can't come out during COVID-19 because they already have a pre-existing condition. And then they're more susceptible to catching the COVID virus and having other things flare up in them that have caused them, come on somebody, to catch something that they don't want to have. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? And so, yes, he might have had a heart condition, but if you got your knee on my neck for 9 minutes, if I have that pre-existing condition, even if I don't, eventually something going to break. If my neck don't break, the only reason his neck didn't break because he was a strong man, but if it would have been a scrawny man, he probably would have died in 2 minutes. I don't even know if I'm preaching or if I'm talking, but I got to address America. America, you're supposed to be the land of the free. But I don't feel free. Come on, somebody. I'm driving while black. I got a Land Rover. They might recognize me now, but they ain't recognize me when I first got hit with the Lexus. I done been pulled over. What was I doing? You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get into this sermon. I'm trying to get into this sermon, but I need you all to understand there's an unrest going on in America. And I believe, I'm not saying that the COVID-19 virus is a good thing, but what I'm saying is calling us to self-reflect and have an introspective look at what's going on. And what I'm saying, Mr. President, what I'm saying, America, what I'm saying, Congress, what I'm saying, Republicans, what I'm saying, Democrats, what I'm saying, police, you need to be able to handle stuff the same way. If minorities are protesting, and you bringing out tear gas and they ain't got no guns. But when you got the majority protesting and they got guns protesting that they want their guns and ain't nobody getting shot, there's a problem. And I begin to look at the scales of justice and I believe they're telling us something because the scale's not balanced. Have you ever looked at the scales of justice? They letting you know visually that it ain't fair. The scales of justice not balanced. They letting you know psychologically. I believe they had a meeting behind closed doors and let them know that they're going to have two. If you do cocaine, you got this. You do crack, you got this. You smoke weed, which is from the earth. You get more time. But if you take an opioids, if it's crack, just say no. If it's cocaine, you need counseling. Huh? I get choked out for cigarettes. But if I'm another color, I can kill 9 people. And y'all take me to McDonald's to get something to eat because I'm hungry on the way to jail. It's amazing how I sat here and I wrote all this out. And I'm not saying nothing I wrote down. And yes, we're going to play this on the broadcast because people got to hear the truth. At the end of the day, I love all people. I love all people, but I got to speak the truth. And the Holy Spirit, it's Pentecost Sunday, let him have his way. People can say whatever they think or get mad about whatever, but I take absolutely no responsibility at all because this sermon was written out and I was ready to speak what it is. Jeremiah began to cry out to God and say, God, where are you? And God began to say, I need you to repent. I need you to turn and come to me. I cried out to God because black people only make up 12.5% of the population, but we account for 50% of the murder victims in America. 12.5%, we're more 6 times more likely to be murdered than our white counterparts. 22 times in some states more. 12.5% of the population, yet we account for 50% of the murder victims. 50% of violent crimes and robbery. But people clutching their purses when I walk by. And sometimes conservative whites and other people would say there's a much larger issue that goes on, because sometimes black people kill black people, nobody protests, but at least that person going to jail. And you got to understand, if you look at statistically, I know they always put out statistics out there, more white people kill white people. More Hispanic people kill Hispanic people. You know, more Asian people kill Asian people, because most of the time people kill people who they're around. And they'll begin to use these statistics and that rhetoric to act like the scales of justice are balanced. But clearly, I saw the picture, and they're not. See, people will say, why is there a national uproar about Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, and other blacks that made national headlines? They'll say that the political response would say, you don't worry about it when you kill yourself, but you worry about it when we kill you. No, we worry about it when anybody kills anybody. The problem is, where is justice when you do it? Do you understand that it's 250% chance that a white person would get off if they kill a black person? 250% chance? I didn't even know you could go above 100%. So that means you got to kill 2.5 Negroes before they think about putting you in jail. There's 350% chance that you will get off if you are a part of the majority if you kill a black man in a stand your ground state. 350% chance. So you got to kill at least 3.5 Negroes before they think about sending you to jail. Oh, I've given you the statistical problems, but I hate when people give me a problem and don't give me the solution. I used to hate that in algebra class. I'm like, teacher, you gave me the problem. I need the answer too. I don't know how to do this. I don't care what X equals at Y. When I go to the store, if I add $5.99 plus $2.50, I'm good. I don't need to know the hypotenuse of a triangle and try to figure out where the shadow's right here and then how high is the building. Man, get some measuring tape. You give me all these complicated things that I don't really care about and making my mind work. And so I'm giving you all these statistics that white people and some black people and some people don't even care about. But let me give you the solution. The problem is, we got to return to what got us out of slavery. What caused us to escape the oppression of Jim Crow laws, to what got us from under the shame of colored restrooms, to what got us equal education, to what called us to overcome Plessy versus Ferguson, and what helped us to secure our voting rights. We have to return to our spiritual roots. We have to return to the day when the preachers and the pastors that led believed in being on the front lines and promoting justice and equality for the common man, and not just building kingdoms until ourselves. We got to return to the church being on the front lines. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The problem is, they started threatening us to take away our nonprofit. But all the evangelicals got together, and I listened to David Jeremiah, but I haven't listened to him as much lately when he helped Trump get in office. You feel me? And nobody talked about losing a 501c3 then. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You want to censor my voice, but you want me not to say Jesus when I go pray at your synod. And I already know you really ain't calling me there to pray. You calling me there because you want to use me to get more votes. Y'all don't hear me. You want to look like you talking to this Negro that has some type of juice in his community at the end of the day. But when I preach, even though I take out Jesus in the prayer, I'm going to make sure a prophetic voice is left in the midst of your assembly, because you can never take away the belief that I have that God can change whatever he wants to change. There's a notice I'm serving on America. You better change your ways, of God coming for you just like he came for Israel. We angry because we feel wronged every day. We're angry about foreclosure. We're angry about more than Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Michael Brown, Eric Garner. The list goes on. But my people, you got to channel that anger into action. that hurt into help, and avoid getting caught up in a fad and let the memories of our victims fall into the abyss of forgetfulness. Like, I can't breathe, or caught up for a brief moment in a fashion statement of a hoodie and a bag of Skittles without using it to promote action. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. We have to get connected to legislation. Do you realize that Section 4 of the Voter Rights Act was overhauled and gutted while our national black leaders were fussing about Paula Deen calling us the N-word? Race has been calling us the N-word since the beginning of time. In fact, if you look at the definition for nigger, it means lazy. So if anybody was a nigger, it was the master anyway. Hell, you the one got me in the fields. Oh, y'all don't hear me. We call each other the N-word. We watch Quentin Tarantino movies. He say the N-word more than Tupac. But you mad about this? Why do we continue to fuss about frivolous stuff? Who cares what they call you? As long as they gotta respect you in your faith, I don't care what they call you behind closed doors. You call yourself that sometimes, so who cares? I need you to get on some legislation and make sure you start passing something that protects me from police brutality. I need you to pass some legislation that tell me if you call and lie on a black man that it's a hate crime and you're going to go to jail, because if you call the police on me, when I call the police from my own house and the alarm is going off, I say I'm black, it's my house. I got on some jeans, I got on this, because a white person had to think about that, but I got to think about that because I know for the first time they see me, my blackness criminalized. It's me. The devil shouldn't have let me rest. See, that's why God had me have this panel, because I'm scaring some folk right now. But I do come in peace, but I come in prophetic truth. And I can't water down what this nation continues to do to me. This ain't 1950. But we got to release. We only about 1.5 generation removed from when King was assassinated in 68, just a little bit more than 50 years ago. It ain't been that long. And for some reason, I feel like America want to go back. Every time Trump say America, make America great again, I think he want me to be in chains again. I ain't come here to play this morning. White people, I love you. Don't be scared. Stay in the parking lot. Come at 11 o'clock and we're going to all be mixed together, because I love everybody, but I got to speak the prophetic truth. That's why I called Chief Drew. That's why I called Pastor Halloran. That's why I called other pastors. That's why I called on my white brothers and sisters to make sure that people understand that I'm trying to stand on a united front, but I got to speak truth to power. Where's the prophetic voice of the church gone? See, we get to the point and we say like we make it and then we sit down. See, we need to be out here rewriting stand your ground laws. Because Georgia, see, I'm from Atlanta. I claim Georgia sometimes. But Georgia tried to blame Aubrey for his murder. Somebody chasing me for 5,000 steps. 5,000 steps. I done ran 5,280 feet from a car that continues to chase me with guns. And at the end of the day, I done already tried my flight. Come on, somebody. Maslow would tell you fight or flight, right? I done tried the flight, but I can't outrun a car. So now I'm tired. So I gotta stop. Face my oppressor. But then they say, you know what? Well, he started fighting as if they was had the right. And I saw some white people writing on the walls of Facebook saying, well, he should have identified himself. So you telling me any white man can pull any black man over, no matter what he is, no matter if he's in a police uniform or not, can just pull me over and ask me who I am? I almost went to the streets. I need to be in church. So I was about to say please. And y'all know what I was about to say in front of that. They try to justify Geraldo, or as Martin said, Gerardo. And Pat Roberts, you know, the owner of Regent University, said that Trayvon Martin deserved to be shot because he had a hoodie on and he looked like a thug. White people don't buy hoodies. Aubrey killed in his own neighborhood. Trayvon Martin killed in his own neighborhood. Trayvon Martin killed in his own neighborhood, knew where he was going back to his daddy's house. But they try to justify it because after you can't run, you've been walking away from him for all this time, and now you can't run no more because he has you cornered, and you turn back to protect yourself, and you get shot, and it's justified. America, I can't put up with that no more. God help me not cuss. Jesus Christ. I'm struggling, y'all. But can I talk to this? Stop crying about what they say and hit them where it hurts. Stop supporting their colleges. Go to Virginia Union, even though it ain't as good as Morehouse School of Religion, but just go there. Stop giving them your money. This man straight up said, see, when he said that, I used to get us discounts to go to Regent University and get us discounts. And I know Ms. Spells didn't like that, but they weren't giving no discounts. So I was like, hey, they're giving us a discount, so I go. And I send them there, and I sign off on it. But then when Pat Roberts said that, I didn't sign no more. I told somebody else to take over that Christian. Hey, I can't do it. I can't get that. Even though you're paying less than 20%, I mean, you're paying 80%, I'm still giving money to somebody who thinks I'm a thug because I got a hoodie on. Somebody who called Melania Trump's naked pictures art. But when Michelle Obama had her shoulders out, she looked like a loose woman. I can't support that. I can't. And so when you're crying, stop giving them your money. They keep doing you wrong. The only reason we ain't on the back of the bus because we stopped taking it. You got to hit people where it hurts. Burning down your own building ain't hurting nobody but your own neighborhood, you ignorant Negro. You wake up, turn around and light your own house on fire. Looting the Louis Vuitton store. Why in the world would you try to break in CNN? I'm talking to Atlanta right now, and they the one helping you get coverage. The black man was arrested on national TV, and CNN made sure they stood. But you tearing up stuff in your own neighborhood. You got to hit them where it hurt. Get out and vote. Be a voting bully, as Killer Mike was saying. See, he was speaking peace, but I saw that shirt he had on, Kill Your Master. Yeah. See, y'all was thinking, yeah, I'm just saying, I ain't saying kill nobody, but what he was saying, I'm telling you this, but if you gonna do something, I need you to go vote. You tired of Trump, go vote. The reason why Trump in office is because some young white people and some young black people didn't vote because they was mad at Hillary Clinton. You could have got the lesser of the two evils, but you stayed at home pouting, and now you crying. Get off your blessed assurance and go vote. You done got up in a pandemic to protest and put yourself in danger, but you won't go vote when ain't nobody sick. I'm too tired to go to the polls. But you would get up and go protest in the midst of a pandemic. Now, I'm not saying don't protest. I'm not saying I'm trying to take away your right from that, because you got to have, everybody got to play their position for a movement to work. Come on, somebody. You can't win a football game with all quarterbacks. I don't care how many Tom Brady's you got. If you ain't got a line, you're going to lose. And so people have to play their part, but I need you to do it in a peaceful way. But at the end of the day, what I'm saying, if you got that much unmitigated gall to get out in the midst of a pandemic, I need you to get up and go vote. I don't know if I'm preaching. I'm trying. This is what you got to do. You got to renew your economic support and recycle that money in your own community. See, I go to the BP down the street, even though it don't be together, because at least it's in the neighborhood. I'm going to write them a letter like, look, I'm a bougie Negro. I need you to make this look better, me to keep coming in here, especially during the pandemic. I'm already kind of a slight germaphobe. I shake your hand, Jarrell Nathaniel, or Wes going to give us a hand sanitizer. That was pre-COVID. See, I'm sorry, car people. I'm going to get y'all out of y'all cars. Turn your AC on. Tell Wawa to give you a dollar off today and put some gas in. Anyway, see, you got to start sending our, we got to start sending our children down, our grandchildren, and teach them how to conduct themselves in certain settings, starting with church. Let them know in certain environments, you can't let yourself go. You have to be guarded with your behavior so that no one will be able to justifiably accuse you of anything. Now, they may accuse you anyway, but at least there ain't no justice in it. I'm not saying raise weak and scary children. I'm saying teach them how to make good, sound decisions. See, however, they would not be able to live a balanced life unless they are spiritually grounded. Until us preachers and parents stop chasing after stuff and begin to put our energy and resources into connecting to our families, churches, and communities, our people will be lost. Work on your kids right now. Don't use George Floyd and others as a symbol. Use them to open your eyes and get prepared spiritually, because only God can deliver us. President Trump and his wife called the protesters thugs, but had no words, again, like I said, for correction for the people with their foot on their neck. We will only overcome through the power of God, family, and church, because we truly don't have an ally in the president. At least we had JFK when King was done. At least you had Lyndon B. Johnson. But you got somebody who openly racist. And a lot of black people vote for him just because he act like he believe in Christian values. Was a Democratic one year and now Republican another year. And you see all the rhetoric that he said he'll become a Republican because they so dumb. As long as I teach hate, I get in the White House. And they see all this stuff, but they still justified. I'm finna go on. See, some people are upset because, and I'm about to lose some allies. I'm about to lose some followers right now. Some people will say you vote for Democrats and they condone gay marriage. That's the law of the land. I ain't gonna marry you though. Because in my Christian law, I mean, God gives me free will to do whatever I want to do. I can work my way to hell if I want to. God gave me free choice to live a life for the kingdom or live a life for darkness. He put before me blessings and curses and said, choose ye whatever you're going to do. But he gave me a hint and said, choose blessings. But at the end of the day, I can't make you do nothing, but I can let you know I don't condone it. Oh, yeah. I ain't throwing no stones because I definitely ain't without sin. We need more voter registration drives, not just during times of elections. We need to make sure our kids get involved in school, community, and extracurricular activities. See, we need to make sure that we have after-school programs for our kids to attend to ensure that they are safe while we are at work. Trayvon Martin knew where he was going. He had a hoodie on to keep himself shielded from the rain. He knew where he was going, and a vigilante still chased him down and killed him. What about our kids that don't have anywhere to go? If the community center not open, you need to open up your church and stop trying to keep your stained glass windows so clean and stop trying to avoid the dirt of real ministry going in the midst of your building. So what, you got new carpet on there? And it, oh, come on, somebody. I need you to let your carpet in your church get dirty so it won't be stained with the blood of our black children all over the streets. It won't be, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You worried about your carpet. I'm worried about the blood crying out from the community. I know people with gyms be talking about why we ain't got no community center. You got a gym. Open it up, you silly Negro. We ain't got nothing. We need this, but you got a gym. And you looking for the nation to serve you. Got to take care of your own community because we see they ain't taking care of it. Don't worry, I'm still a Christian. I'm not going to say As-Salaamu Alaikum or nothing. But I'm just tired. We need to take the overflow of the community into our churches to make sure we protect our children. We need to be practical people and not afraid to speak up for all Americans that face injustice, not just black people. Stop begging God to change your situation and ask him to change you and give you the boldness to change your own situation. Because you do know you're the salt of the world, right? Salt can change the flavor of some stuff. Come on, man, you get them grits. Oh, man, come on, Waffle House, Jesus, help me, Lord. Lord, help my blood pressure, but I got to throw some salt in this. The problem with the church is we lost our saltiness. If this don't make you salty, whether you black, white, or whatever, you just making money. The gospel ain't real to you. See, the reason why we don't want to speak out is because we know that those who speak out for social justice are assassinated. Dr. King was assassinated. Malcolm X was assassinated. Megan Evers was assassinated. JFK was assassinated. Jesus was even assassinated. I know you say Jesus was crucified because you want to be able to sit home and cry about it, but I say he was assassinated because it makes you want to get up off your blessed assurance and spring it in action. He was assassinated for speaking up for the women's right when it was the woman's right when the adulterous woman was about to be stoned. He asked, where is the man that she was with? He was assassinated because he stood up for other races when he liberated the Samaritan woman at the well. He was assassinated because he stood up against the oppressive religious structure of the high priest and used religion to manipulate and take advantage of people. He was assassinated because he spoke up against the unjust system of rules that oppressed the poor. The shameful thing about our fear is that our words are more likely not going to get us killed today. We're not going to face a physical death. We fear facing the assassination of our reputation if we speak. We fear the assassination of our membership to the country club if we speak. We fear the assassination of acceptance to high-class society if we speak. We feel like we'll get assassinated from the Tidewater Peninsula Baptist Association if we speak. You have to be like Jesus and stand for justice and equality. But you cannot learn how to do it without being a part of your church. Churches, stand up. Stand up. White churches and black churches, stop telling me you my friend if you silent. I appreciate Pastor Shepley and Pastor Halloran, two white preachers that took off the day at their own church to come be with us at 11 o'clock. That's when I can say you my friend. I ain't saying you got to skip church, but I'm just saying it was a profound thing to do. Disclaimer. When I was working on this message, I began to get angry about the song, My Country Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty. I began to think of how false that song was as it relates to my people. I went as far as to think, why are we mad about the Confederate flag? Slavery and oppression took place as the American flag flew over high over the northern and southern states of the country. I ain't mad at neither flag because they were symbols. I ain't saying that we shouldn't have took it down, but what I'm saying is the American flag flew over all that stuff. But God said, Maxwell, I place provision for all my people in that song. You're toiling over. You just have to back it up with my word and remember to cause those things that be not as though they were. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. Our father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. I believe as long as the church church stands up and begins to use its own language against the country, I believe that the dream of King shall be realized. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Where my liberty at? If I gotta take it, I will. If I gotta take it, I will. If I gotta protest, I will. If I gotta pray, I will. If I gotta stand it. See, some people got mad at the Black Lives Matter. Well, all lives matter. Well, show me, Mr. White Man. We know all lives matter. We just trying to make sure you know Black Lives Matter too. Because for some reason we ain't get caught up in that hashtag. We getting shot. But I believe that God, even in the midst of racist hands that did the penmanship of founding America, God's spirit was there. Even though it was built on the backs of slaves, can you understand how God moved in the midst of that song? Don't get mad about the song. Keep singing it until it comes to fruition. Keep speaking it until you really have liberty. Keep walking in the prophetic voice of that song. Now, I know they weren't thinking about us when they wrote it, but God was. They weren't thinking about you, girl. They weren't thinking about me. But the prophetic penmanship of God had his hands all over it. It's all I'm saying. I'm not saying hate. Definitely not saying that. That's why I got a diverse panel on today. But I'm saying speaking truth. The thing about me is I'm caught up on both sides. When I take up for the police, my people be mad at me, but I don't be caring if they right. And then when I take up for my people, the police get mad. I don't care. We right. You understand? I stand on the side of truth, not on the side of race. But right now I have to speak up for my race because we reaching and we are getting touched with the injustice. If I'm a priest, I definitely ain't no priest. If I'm a prophet, I got to speak truth to power. I got to speak with a prophetic voice to change what's going on in America. And I believe there's some silent, dormant prophetic voices that are going to rise up because this situation is going to pull you out. See, the thing about it is most of the time when they were choking us, they weren't looking at us. That demonic spirit was so strong. And that's what it was, a demonic spirit. You've been knowing this man for 17 years, but the demonic spirit in you is so strong that you sit up there and you look at us while you kill him. You didn't kick your knee off his neck until he died. Nobody stepped in to help from the police force until he died. You know what the problem is? That blue line stronger than that red line of Jesus. It's a black line because I'm a black man and I'm a Christian, but my Christian and my blackness are intertwined with one another. I need your blue and your Christianity to really come through. Stop burning crosses and let it give you empowerment. I speak this in love. I love you. I even love my country, America. And think about it, if you don't love something, you don't talk about it. When you stop loving a woman or you stop loving a man, you don't argue with him no more. You don't care. When she stop arguing with you, she gone. Hey, dude, when she stop arguing with you, it's a wrap. I ain't talking about arguing just for no reason. If she do that, then you need to leave anyway. I was like, when you do something stupid and she don't fuss no more, she done. America, if I stop fussing, I'm done. If I stop fussing, I'm done. That means I done joined the NRA. You'll get that when you go home. God says, I chastise those who I love. And I believe God loves this country. But I believe there's some chastisement that needs to take place for us to receive a healing. I know this sermon might not have sounded like it was rooted in the word of God, but it was. That's why Jeremiah was crying out to God. Jeremiah and Israel in that situation is a direct correlation with what's going on with African Americans, especially male, in America. The same way Herod was exterminating male children is the same way America is doing it right now. The same way they're looking for the voice who might liberate the people. Same way they were looking to kill Jesus. The same way they were looking to kill Moses. And the same way they're looking to kill the prophetic voices and scare you so much that you keep your voice silent. America can't keep you silent. Black preacher, white preacher, Hispanic preacher. God has all power. If you want to be able to walk in the boldness that I'm talking about, if you want to be an agent of change, if you want to have the unmitigated gall to make a difference and not worry about the consequences of the world, I need you to build a relationship with Jesus. Why can I preach like this? Why can I speak like this? Why can I be so bold to call the lieutenant governor and say, I need you to drive from D.C. to come up here? Why can I be so bold and do that? Because the Spirit of God is upon me. And he's anointed me to liberate the poor. He's anointed me to take care and be an advocate for those who are voiceless. And although the voiceless people right now are my people, I will be that voice. I'll be that voice for the people in Haiti and Africa. I'll be that voice for those who suffered a flood in Tennessee. I'll be that voice of hurricanes who needed help in Florida and needed help in the Bahamas. So don't act like I'm just speaking up for my people, just that's all. Anybody who's hurting, if you're a Christian, you're anointed to liberate them. And right now, my task is just my people. It ain't just, right now, that's a big part of my task. I ain't about repeating history. I don't like going backwards. I even hate backing my car up. I hate going backwards. I always want to go forward. I need us to press toward the mark of the holy call. Trust God. Only he can bring us out. And this being Pentecost Sunday, I need to tell you this. I know this was a stern sermon, but he's going to bring black and white and everybody together at 11 o'clock. Because sometimes you got to just cleanse what's going on and begin to flush some things out and bring some stuff to the surface and stop letting all them elephants be in the room.